Welcome to Global Venturing Review. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief, and with me we have...
Thierry Halas, editor of Global Government Venturing and Global University Venturing.
Well, this is the second week we did it. We had great feedback from last week's inaugural one, and we're also into a new year. It's the Chinese New Year, the Year of the Monkey, and they have a bit of a reputation for being smart investors, so we shall see how this year's deals turn out. And even though the stock markets have continued their rocky start to the year, we've actually seen some quite interesting moves from the global corporate venturing side on fundraising with financial services provider BBVA, a Spanish firm. They've been a notable fintech investor since early 2013 when they formed a 100 million fund, and they backed some pretty good companies in terms of DocuSign, Taulia and Prosper. And the bank has now elected to upgrade its participation by committing another $150 million and spinning out its investments into a new venture capital firm called Propel Venture Partners. And Propel are already operating in San Francisco, and they're also recruiting in London and in other areas. In other sort of moves, actually, we've seen quite a lot of activity outside of the US, and RWE's Energy Venture Capital may have been a bit quiet, but their CEO, Peter Terrium, has reiterated its commitment to innovation and revealed plans for another investment unit, which will be $145 million. Energy's head, Crispin Light's gone over to appear in EMBW, so they've been setting up a new fund and hiring people on that side. So we should see yet more activity on the utility space, particularly in the continent, over the next few months. And in addition to that fund, RWE has invested $15 million as a limited partner in a so far unnamed green tech VC firm in the US. Thierry, what are you seeing on the other titles?
We've had quite a few funds on GGV, actually. France has tripled their biotechnology fund from an initial $111 million to $386 million after the some trade groups and other organisations in the country basically said $111 million is not enough to make significant difference in that sector, which makes sense considering how much pharmaceutical companies and life science companies need to test their drugs and develop them. And then we have Malta, which appears on our radar fairly unregularly, but they've launched a $67 million scheme to back small and medium-sized enterprises in the country. They attracted both the European Commission and European Investment Bank and their European Investment Fund to make that happen. And then finally, another interesting one that we've come across is UNICEF's $9 million fund, which, quite unexpected, but they are basically looking at technologies that help children, educational technologies, that kind of stuff. And hopefully there should be quite some interesting startups coming out of that.
Well, we've definitely got a theme on at our Global Corporate Venturing Symposium in May 24th, 25th, is an impact stream. So that impact venturing space, and given that UNICEF are focused on children and children's charity, I think there's quite an interesting angle on that side. I suppose in one way, Thierry, if there's nothing better than other people's money or OPM in terms of being able to do what you want, the only thing that's even better than that is having other people's money where you can't lose that money. Have you seen anything interesting on that side? I've heard some news coming out of China.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Shanghai has basically decided to bail out investments, failed investments, and they've basically decided to give back failed investments between 30 and 60% to companies up to $912,000, which decent amount, and also kind of strange to have a government bail out VC firms. And they've drawn some criticism from a range of VC firms and private equity firms for that, basically saying there is a reason why venture capital is a risky endeavor, and bailing out firms reduces that risk and potentially opens it up to players that might not belong in that market.
Yeah, so they remember after the last dot-com bubble imploded, a lot of VC firms that had managed to get those types of state guarantee just killed the firms in order to get some of their money back rather than see if they had a longer chance of success. There was a lot of blood in the street at those times. So hopefully we won't see the same in China, given how far and fast the stock market's fallen on that side of the pond. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some investments still being done and in record sizes still. We've seen Uber on the global corporate venture in size. They've raised yet another, they're targeting to raise yet another 2.1 billion of new equity. So it's still jaw-dropping, 62.5 billion valuation. And although the fundraising or investment climate seems to be cooling somewhat, they've raised 200 million of that target from Letter One, which is an investment firm that comes along with a range of corporate backers such as Alphabet, formerly known as, well, what used to be Google, Baidu, which is their peer in China, Times Group, Ping An, and China Life Insurance. So there's still plenty of money around if you're able to show the right sorts of figures. But outside of the US, a number of those investors are outside of the US, but also outside the US in terms of deals. We've seen some pretty big investments for Indian e-commerce sector, and 197 Communications was one of the biggest recipients, raising $680 million from Alibaba and Ant Financial, and now they're looking to raise yet another $400 million by the end of June for this spinning out their payments arm called Paytm. Sudhir Shetty, it's expected to come to our GCB symposium in May as well, and they'd be looking to create a separate mobile banking and payment company. Now, we've seen potential partnership between Paytm and Flipkart, which had raised very large amounts last few years as well. But we haven't seen that many large deals in Africa, even though its population is also fast growing. But we have seen Africa Internet Group, a collection of African businesses overseen by Rocket Internet, and they've been backed by telcos MTN and Millicom. And they've just welcomed a new backer in French insurance company AXA, which has agreed to pay $83 million for an 8% stake in this AIG, or Africa Internet Group, as part of a strategic partnership that will allow them to sell insurance products through AIG's companies, and in particular, the e-commerce marketplace Jumia. Anything on the Gov or the university side there, Thierry?
On the university side, not so much a specific investment, but Cambridge has broken its seat record for the third year running, where they've invested £3.8 million, or roughly $5.5 million, in 2014 to 2015, which is an increase of £600,000 over the previous period. So quite an impressive raise there.
Mm-hmm. Certainly at the very early stage. I mean, I think we talked last week about the, you know, there's generally quite a buoyant feeling in the UK university venturing scene. I mean, Set Squared had a sort of reception at the House of Commons to celebrate it being ranked the number one university sort of accelerator or partnership, and that side of their portfolio companies had raised more than £1 billion, so about $1.5 billion over the past 12, 14 years, which is a tremendous achievement. Not quite in sort of MIT's league or maybe even Stanford's, but very impressive. And that golden triangle, the country, the UK, might only have 1% of the population, but I think its scientists produce about 16% of the top-ranked papers. And having a venture scene that supports some of those great ideas and turns them into commercial ideas or applications or even startups and spin-outs from the students and faculty is, I think, really important. So it's been great to see the number of fundraisers and launches on that side over the past few weeks. And I think given that Cambridge, given its reputation, the fact that they've been increasing and having a record year on seed stage deals is really, really gives hope that the engine room of an economy is really starting to fly on that side of commercialization. But as ever, these things require exits, and after a buoyant start to February, after a very quiet January, I think we noted last week that there weren't any flotations or IPOs in January. We saw a couple in the first week of February, and we've seen a couple more come out in Proteostasis. They raised $50 million, while Aviax raised $95 million. They floated in the middle of their range. We've had a couple of more IPOs be pulled, which is less encouraging. So the outlook still looks a bit stretched. But I think one of the things I've been quite encouraged by is Bruce Booth, who's really one of the star healthcare venture investors. He did some great research. He's done some more blog posts. I highly recommend checking out Life Sci B. See his blogs, because I do think he does some good analysis. And, you know, one of the things he's noticed is actually some of these post-IPO companies, the valuations haven't been too great in the aftermarket, but they're sitting on a lot of cash, and that gives him a lot of comfort that these companies will be able to deliver through, even if there is a slight downturn, be able to deliver on their candidates that they've been working on. And take those fully through to market, and maybe even have opportunities to be able to develop and expand and buy others. So, Thierry, have you seen anything on your side?
There hasn't been anything on the university side, unfortunately, but we've had one on the government end, which overlapped with the corporate side because it was Fuse Powered, which was acquired by Upsight and gave an exit to Relay Ventures, which is a VC firm backed by BlackBerry and also the Canadian government. They started as a kind of mobile gaming publisher, but then they pivoted fairly soon after that to concentrate on monetization and advertising. They haven't said how much money Upsight has paid for the company, but usually means that's a fairly low number. So
it can be in the other way. They don't want,
or it can be the other extreme. Yeah,
but yes, we shall see. We shall see. Thierry Dennis, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for listeners for the Global Venturing Review. We always welcome the feedback. Please contact either Thierry at thellis@globalcorporateventuring.com or myself, James Mawson, at jmawson@mawsonia.com. Thanks once again. Any final thoughts from yourself, Thierry?
Enjoy the week, everyone.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.